Hello, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today, our topic on Hometown Alaska is spelling. Whether it makes you cringe or makes you beam with pride because you're good at it, we're going to be talking about spelling today. And if it wasn't good for you and you went down on a word, we'd love you to call in and tell us about that. Or if you're a former champ, what did you win on? I'd like to welcome my guests today in the studio. We are so lucky to have three Spelling Bee champs joining us with very different experiences. I'd like to welcome Taya Fagerstrom from Thielen Middle School. Hi, Taya.
Hello.
She is the state champ, and she's still in competition. She's going forward. We'll hear more about that later. And Mitchell, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you.
And I'm going to let you pronounce your last name because it's really hard.
Mitchell Guerrero.
Excellent. Mitchell is the UPIC Spelling Bee champ for the beginning Spelling Bee that was held in April. And you are from Alaska Native
Cultural Charter School.
And you're in which grade?
Seventh
grade. All right. So welcome to you both. The other champ we have will be joining us after the break. And he's an adult Spelling Bee champ. His name is Toby Whitcomb, and he is a UAA professor of English. And he's been a champion on a champion team for the BISBE, which is a fundraising effort here in Anchorage that adults for corporations and companies and organizations get on teams together. And so we have three Spelling Bee champs. We're going to talk a lot about spelling. We're so lucky to be in Alaska and have a UPIC Spelling Bee that happened in Anchorage that we can add to English Spelling Bees. So it's a real opportunity. I hope to hear a lot of UPIC words today on the radio from both Katie and from Mitchell. By the way, we haven't introduced you, Katie. Katie Tunuchuk is also from the Alaska Native Culture Charter School. What's your role there, Katie?
I'm the cultural / SEL teacher. SEL is social and emotional learning.
And in the case of Mitchell, your role was?
I was his coach for the UPIC Spelling Bee, and I'm also his UPIC culture teacher.
So everybody had to get out of school today, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. One of the bennies of being on the radio, right? All right. So I want to let listeners know they can call in. They can throw a word at us if they want. I'm not guaranteeing we can spell it. Or they can tell us their Spelling Bee story. You can call us at 550-8433 if you're in Anchorage. If you're outside Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752, or you can send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. Now, this program is live right now, so we can take callers, but this evening it will be rebroadcast just as a recording at 7 o'clock. So you guys can go home and listen to yourselves all over again tonight. I'd like to refer folks to our website because we tend to put lots of information up there that's kind of relevant to our program, and I want to tell you some of the things that are on there. We've got the 100 most misspelled words in English, which is a pretty fun list to look at. We have the website for the Spelling Bee that Taya is going to be competing in later this month, the National Spelling Bee. We've got their website up there, and you can see how complex and intricate that competition is. We've got information about the history of spelling bees, winning words that people have won with through history. There's even a very funny video up there of a young fellow who had to spell the word sardoodledum. And he just couldn't stop laughing when he heard the word. So that was an actual competition, and he actually spelled it right, but he had to get over his giggles first. And we also have some UPIC words up there from the alaskschool.org website. So do go to alaskapublic.org and take a look at some of these fun elements to our story today. So Ty, I'm going to start with you. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Now, you brought in this big red notebook with you. Would you describe what's in that book and how you put it together?
Well, it has the preliminaries, the words for the preliminaries in it. It has the word list, and then it has tabs for all the definitions of them and pronunciations.
And you've got all that in your brain?
Not quite, but I'm working on it.
You're working on it. Now, your school is Thielen Middle School, and how old are you?
12.
And is spelling a passion for you?
No, not really. I just found out that I'm pretty good at it.
Why do you think you're good at it?
I don't really know.
Uh-huh. Do you think it's the way you think, or do you think you have a photographic memory? Do you read a lot?
I read a lot, so that probably helps.
And when you come to a word you don't know, are you pretty good about looking it up, or do you figure it out from context?
I usually figure it out from context, but if I really, really need to know what it means, then I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm. Do you use, like, a computer?
Sometimes.
Or do you use a dictionary?
It kind of depends on where I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I told folks that you're still in competition, and that's because why?
Well, it goes from the school spelling bee to the state spelling bee and then nationals for Alaska. So, yeah.
So when did you start competing? You had your classroom bee first, or what did you do first?
Our classroom bee was actually a test, just a spelling test.
Mm-hmm. And then your that qualified you to compete in the school?
Yeah.
And then the district?
We didn't have a district bee.
Okay. So how did you become the state champ then?
There were 147 spellers in the state bee from all over the school bees. So we came and the first round was really long and kind of nerve-wracking.
With so many spellers, huh? Yeah. Was it at the pack or where was it?
Yeah, it was there at the Discovery Theater.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how many hours did it take?
It went from 9 in the morning until, what was it, I think 7 o'clock at night.
A long day. That was the first round. And then did you come back later for a second round?
The first round lasted about an hour and a half for 2 in the morning, but the entire bee was that day.
Okay. Now, can you remember some of the words you've won on?
This was my first year actually winning a spelling bee.
Oh, so not your first year to compete, but your first year to win?
Yeah.
Okay. But when you won the state, what did you win with?
Megahertz.
Want to spell that for us?
M-E-G-A-H-E-R-T-Z.
And what does it mean? Do you have to know?
It means equal to 1 million cycles per second.
Wow. Okay. I think you deserve to win. Now, going forward, you have something big coming up related to spelling. When is that and where is that?
The National Spelling Bee is on May 26 in Washington, D.C.
So are you going with your family?
My mom is taking me, and 2 of my grandmas are coming, one from each side of the family.
Oh, that's very sweet. Now, do you come from a long line of good spellers? Is your dad a good speller? Is your mom a good speller?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Are you the oldest one in your family?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we wish you luck. And I know I did a little bit of research on Scripps. They've been having that spelling bee since 1925. Did you read that on the website?
Yeah.
And they have amazing lists there. They can tell you how many boys are in the competition, how many girls. It's pretty split, pretty even. What kind of schools they come from. Most of them come from public schools, although there are some homeschool, small percentage, some charter schools, some private or parochial schools. Now, you're still getting ready to compete, so what's your training schedule like?
Whenever I can, I'll open the red notebook thing, and I'll just look over the words and definitions and kind of spell it in my head. And my mom will help me practice sometimes.
So you do a lot of it by yourself then, huh?
Yes.
Do you use a tape recorder?
Not really.
Just kind of, do you try to picture it in your head?
I kind of just spell it in my head, like audio, kind of. So that's how that works.
And that works pretty well for you?
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. So the big day for you is the 26th of May, and you must go through another round, right? That's going to be everybody in the whole nation. I think 278 spellers are going to come together.
The bee actually lasts that entire week because we have our first round tests and then the preliminaries and the semifinals and finals.
Wow. All right. If you've just joined us, this is Hometown Alaska, and you're listening to Taya Fagerstrom, who's about to go to Washington, D.C. at the end of this month and compete in the National Spelling Bee. So we'll be thinking about you, Taya. I want to talk to Mitchell a little bit. He's sitting over here grinning ear to ear. Hi, Mitchell.
Hello.
Now, your spelling bee is actually over for this year. How many rounds did you participate in to get to that spelling bee? It was over at the University of Alaska, Anchorage.
Not a lot, actually, because most of the spellers just got the message, and this is the first year.
It's really the first year for this UPIC spelling bee in Anchorage.
And a lot wanted to learn about more the UPIC, but I've been knowing UPIC since it was one of my actual first words.
Your first word was UPIC?
His first language.
First language was UPIC. So you speak UPIC at home then, it sounds like?
Yes, I speak UPIC at home. I didn't know English until I was third grade.
And were you born in Anchorage or born in UPIC areas?
UPIC areas.
Okay. Now, Katie, welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you.
You and Mitchell have been working together, and other students as well, obviously. You were his coach. Could you tell us a little bit about the Native Culture Charter School and how UPIC might be part of that curriculum?
Well, the charter school had put it in their charter that they were going to start an immersion program with UPIC, but the direction has kind of moved a little bit. There is still UPIC cultural concepts taught to go along with the social and emotional learning, and that's taught to kindergarten through third grade, 4 days a week. And this year is the first time the older kids, grades 4 through 7, have seen the UPIC teacher on a weekly basis. And I don't teach the SEL to them, even though it is a school-wide thing that we're trying to do. They have been doing mostly cultural crafts when they see me on Fridays.
Mm-hmm. Would it be common to go into a class at the Native Culture School and hear UPIC in the classroom?
No.
Not so common.
Not so common.
But is that an ambition for the future?
I'm not sure.
Not sure.
Yeah.
I did a little research on this UPIC spelling bee and spoke with a woman named Frida Dan, who it was her inspiration to have one in Anchorage. She's the mom of four. And she told me that the Lower Yukon School District has had a UPIC spelling bee for 10 years, but it's only for their district. So she really had to start one here. So she told me her goal was 20 competitors with 120 words. And it was such a big goal that it became 20 competitors with 20 words. It's a pretty challenging language, really. I came to this thinking that it was mostly oral. So where do the words, the actual spelled words come from?
Well, we do have an alphabet. We just have less. We have 18 letters in our alphabet, and it has been written down, but the way that the words are spelled has changed over the years. I think when I was in high school, they came out with a UPIC spelling bee. I'm not sure where that was done. I think in Fairbanks. And they kind of have a formal way you spell things in the dictionary. And when you take UPIC classes, they teach you, you know, this combination makes this sound. The pronunciations are different.
We talked earlier that, you know, from one village to another village, you might have different pronunciation.
Yeah,
different spelling.
Same spelling? Yeah, it would be, most of them would be spelled the same. The beginning letter might be different.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Taya, how would you like that? That's pretty challenging, huh?
Yeah.
Well, could we hear a few UPIC words? Could you, ask Mitchell to spell something he's comfortable spelling?
Yes.
Agyak. Agyak. A-G-Y-A-Q.
And what does that mean?
Star.
Star. And you are an agyak, right? A star today. Let's see. It would seem fairly challenging. The it's a language where, in this spelling bee, were they just doing words, or were they were not trying to do sentences?
No, not sentences. They were just taking the beginning of a word, the part of a word that would be common in the sentences.
And we talked about a little bit about that. This is a language that is made up of root words, and then if you put a suffix on or maybe something at the end, it means something else. Mm-hmm. We had an example here. Why don't you share that?
So a root word would be K-E-N-I, gni. And then if you say gnihvik, that would be something that you cook with or the fireplace.
Okay, so if you add those suffixes on, it becomes something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the how many vowels and how many consonants are there in Yupik?
A, E, I, U are the vowels. So 14 consonants.
So, smaller alphabet than what Taya Fagerström is working with. but also, you know, the K's and the Q's, are they easy? For example, Mitchell, is it easy for you to tell if a word starts with a K?
Mm-hmm.
How? Sounds different to you?
What, English and Yupik?
In Yupik is really what I'm interested in.
Practically, it's easy to identify. Because it sounds like a G in English, k, like hun teeth. It starts with a K.
So it's really easy for you. Are there some sounds in Yupik that are you're not sure? You need to get the context, or you need to, you know.
We probably need to hear it again.
The silent D's are really challenging.
Silent D?
E's.
Silent E. I know someone said that at the spelling bee. I heard that.
Ours are usually at the beginning of the word.
The silent E is at mm-hmm. the beginning of the word. How did you coach Mitchell and other team members from that school? Did you meet every day?
We tried to. With our busy schedules, it was kind of hard to do that. And when we first started practicing, the other Yupik speaking teacher would meet with the students on her lunch break, and she would go over the pronunciations of the alphabet, go over the letter combinations, and then when we had the district, I would take Mitchell in the mornings and I would just open up the Yupik dictionary and I'd say, spell this, and so he'd spell it for me, and I'd find another one and tell him to spell it.
You know, one of the things Taya said is she reads a lot, which is one of the ways she gathers so many words. How can you do that? Are there books in Yupik? Are there online stories in Yupik? And is that part of the process?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Mitchell's history. He started school in the Lower Kuskokwim School District in the village that he lived in is a YFL site, a Yupik First Language site, where they are taught exclusively in Yupik from preschool until about third grade, where they go into a 3T classroom and they transition to all-day English. So he's had constant Yupik since.
Are you more comfortable in Yupik or in English, or about the same in both?
I'm a lot more comfortable in Yupik more than English.
Because maybe it was the first language. Yeah.
Yes, and all my family members speak it, except for a few, because they moved here in Anchorage or Bethel when they were young.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So are you the oldest in your family, Mitchell?
No, I'm the middle. Yeah, I'm the middle.
Uh-huh, and you're in the seventh grade?
Yes.
Yes. And Taya, are you the oldest or the middle or youngest?
I'm the oldest one.
So the high-achieving oldest. How is your? Do you have a brother or a sister?
I have a younger sister and a younger brother.
Uh-huh. So they might have to follow in your footsteps, huh? As just want to let folks know, if you've joined us, this is Hometown Alaska, and today we're talking about spelling. And we'd be interested in hearing from you if you're a good speller, you want to test us out on a word. We also have some amazing Spelling Bee champs here in the studio with us. Taya Fagerstrom, who's going to go on to compete in the Scripps National Spelling Bee at the end of May. And we have Mitchell K. I'm going to call you Mitchell K because your last name is very challenging to say, who is the champion of a local Anchorage Spelling Bee, UPIC Spelling Bee, for beginners. And Mitchell has been, first language was UPIC, so he had a kind of leg up there in the competition, right? That's great. Yes. That's great. So let's see, I wanted to actually let you guys be more than Spelling Bee champs. I wanted to know a little bit more about your other interests. So Taya, just tell me a little bit about what you do when you're having fun.
Twice a week I take ballet lessons, and I did soccer and over the winter and since I was three, both. Mm-hmm.
And have you been thinking about what you want to be when you grow up, or is that still too far away to even worry about?
I'm hoping to be an engineer or a pilot.
Aha. Uh-huh. And why?
Just because there are so many things you can do with engineering, and my dad was a pilot, and I always thought it was really cool because I grew up around pilots.
So you fly a lot? Do you get to fly a lot with your family?
When I was younger, I did, but not really anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So an engineer because they can do a lot.
Yes.
So that's interesting. I wonder if having a mind for engineering helps you be a good speller.
I'm not sure.
Okay, Mitchell, let's talk to you a little bit. What do you like to do when you're not in school?
Practically, there's barely anything to do here in Anchorage. But where I'm at my village, every single day, all day long, I would go out and play with my friends and cousins, ride my bike around the village.
Mm-hmm. Will you be going back there in the summer?
Yes.
And tell me the name of the village again.
Chifornik,
okay, all right. So, Katie, will you be going away from Anchorage in the summer also?
It's possible. I'm taking classes to get my master's degree, so I'm going to be doing that this summer, and my children they've been enrolled in some summer camps and stuff, so we'll see.
Not sure yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're dying to go back to Chifornik.
Yes, I am really dead.
All right. Well, I think we should do just a little bit of spelling here. So why don't I throw out a word? Are you ready, Taya?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to use a sheet from your the book that you're working with. And we're looking at A's, B's, and C's, words and D's. Let's just try one. How about artichoke?
A-R-T-I-C-H-O-K-E.
Piece of cake?
Yes.
Let's try one that's a little bit more challenging. Buddha.
Capital B-U-D-D-H-A.
And it would be wrong if you didn't capitalize the B, right?
I'm not sure. They haven't given us any information about capitalization rules yet.
Oh. You know, that makes me think of a question. When you're, and I've seen this on the YouTube clips of competitors, they're up there and they get a word and they're not sure. What can you do when you get a word that you're not sure about?
At the state level, you can ask for a definition, any alternate pronunciations, for the word to be repeated and to be used in a sentence.
So you have a couple of options. Have you ever been in that position where you're just scrambling, trying to think, and you're trying to get more information about the word?
Not at the state level, but last year at my school B, I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was your first time?
No, I did spelling bees in fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade, and seventh grade.
Oh, wow. You've been on the ropes here quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a veteran, I guess.
I guess.
It feels like it a little bit to you, huh? You know, I was looking at the Scripps website, and they had these really fun facts. And I just thought we could talk a little bit about some of them. You know, words like tamale. Have you seen this on the website, Taya?
I haven't looked very much at the website.
They just have fun word facts. Like, here's one. Words like tamale, chipotle, avocado, chocolate, They might sound like Mexican words, but they're actually not. They're Aztec words. They actually come from a language called Nahuatl, which is kind of the Aztec language. So think about that. How many times do you think tamale avocado, and it's an ancient Aztec, you know, word? That's just amazing. So it's fun stuff like that. If you were going to give advice, Mitchell, to other young Yupik spellers, what kind of advice would you give them?
The advice is don't mistake K as a Q, because that's one of the most challenging the other competitors had, in all the silent E's in the double consonants, like they'll sound longer.
Yeah.
GG and like Asitok, Assiituq, one of the, it might sound short sometimes, but it's actually double.
So do you think you have to listen very carefully in Yupik?
Yes.
Because there's nuances in the pronunciation.
And it's important to learn the sounds of the letters.
Give us a few examples. Like maybe we talked a little bit about Q and K. How about some G's? Let's hear some G's. How about that, Katie? Is that right?
Yeah. And another one would be the letter P. It makes the B sound in our language.
Ah. So that could trip up a speller who wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the G's again.
G.
G. G. How about Q? So do you roll it?
No, it's back in the throat.
Yeah.
K. Try it, Taya.
Very good.
Maybe next year you'll be in the Yupik spelling. How about double L?
Yeah.
Yeah, the double L sounds weird because it sounds like
oh.
You take your tongue and touch the back of your teeth and blow the air out.
Wow, that's hard.
Samyon.
What did you just say?
Spirit world.
Say it again.
Samyon.
That's very pretty, actually. It's very pretty to hear it. I want to throw out our phone number. I'm sorry, I forget, get talking to you guys. If you have questions for us, either Yupik spelling or our champion who's going to represent Alaska in Washington, D.C., our number is 550-8433 or 1-888-353-5752, or send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. So I also want to let our listeners know that I think after the break we're going to hear from Toby Whitcomb, who is also a Spelling Bee champ. And I want you guys to throw a few words at Toby when he gets on the line. Maybe we'll see if we can't throw him a Yupik word and maybe throw him a one of your tougher words. So this is Hometown Alaska. You're listening to Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Hello, this is Kathleen McCoy, and you're back listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA. And our topic today is spelling bees. And of course, this is the time of year when school is winding down and kids are finishing up. And as we heard Mitchell talk about, he's anxious to go back to Chafornek and do the things he gets to do at home. And Taya Fagerstrom, who's here in the studio with us, is going to be going on to Washington, D.C. to represent the state of Alaska in the National Spelling Bee. And she's pretty confident and not too worried. And also in the studio with us today is Katie Tanuchuk. Thank you. I got it right that time. Who has been a Yupik spelling coach for Mitchell and got him ready for the a Yupik Spelling Bee that was held over at the University of Alaska Anchorage in the middle of April. So we have two champions here on the stage or in the studio. Hopefully we're going to hear from Toby Whitcomb here shortly. So I'm going to throw out another word to you, Taya. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, this one's a tricky one. And we'll do some more Yupik words for you, too. Okay, Mitchell. This is a dog. It's a dachshund.
D-A-C-H-S-H-U-N-D.
Very good. Excellent. Let's try another one. Daffodil.
D-A-F-F-O-D-I-L.
Very good. Let's go to Mitchell. Why don't you give Mitchell a word?
Nukalpak.
N-U-K-A-L-P-I-A-Q.
What does it mean?
A good hunter.
Say it again.
Nukalpak. Me, my cousin, my little cousin, who's 11 years old, we are Nukalpaks.
You are both hunters?
Three of us, 15, 13, and 11. Every minus 2 years younger, but my little cousin is better than me.
How did you qualify to become a hunter? What was the test that you had to?
We had no test. It's in our blood. All of the boys over there are mostly Nukalpaks, and most of the boys of the generations, our fathers from the villages are really good Nukalpaks, especially our elders. They know how to hunt. Even if they're old, they can set up traps, which could kill a little, like a rabbit-sized animal, which could get them food for a few days, which they could set more traps and more food.
So say the word hunter again.
Nukalpak.
And spell it for us again.
N-U-K-L-A-L-P-I-A-Q.
So it has those Q's in it, and it has
a K.
A K. So pretty tricky, yeah. I wanted to ask our spellers whether they have words they like to spell. Maybe you like the way they sound. How about you, Taya?
For me, Latin root words are easier because that was a lot of what we were learning in elementary school.
Latin words?
Yeah.
So give us some examples.
Anything like that just has like thurification, it's easier to figure out because it has those certain parts of the words that I can recognize.
Say that word again.
Thurification.
And what do you see in that word based on some of the Latin you know?
The T-I-O-N and just the linking stuff, like the I, thurification.
Are there some words that you just like to say?
I like stuff like from Arabic and Greek, or anything more foreign sounding.
So give us a few of your favorite words.
I like the word soliloquy, and...
Why do you like it?
It's just pretty to say.
Oh my goodness, our phone bank has come back, and we have lots of folks who want to call and talk to us. So first I'm going to welcome Toby Whitcomb on. Welcome, Toby.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to have you call in. I really appreciate it. You're on the air with two other spelling champs, Mitchell, who won the Yupik Spelling Bee here recently, and Taya Fagerstrom, who's going to go to Washington, D.C. to represent Alaska. But what's your Spelling Bee history, Toby?
I was on the UAH team for probably about a decade for the BISBE competition, which is raises funds for Anchorage Literacy Project. And we ended up winning 3 years in a row, so I retired because I thought it was good to retire, you know, rest on my laurels.
Now, what do you do? Lose. What do you do day to day?
What I do day to day is I teach at UAA,
and in the English department. So language and words and how they're spelled is pretty important to you.
Important to me, and it's a great joy to me as well.
Tell me a little bit more about why it's a joy.
the sounds of words, the way in which words seem to play sort of games with one another is, I think, quite charming.
Uh-huh. Give me an example. Ty was just telling us that she likes to listen to the word soliloquy. She likes the way it sounds. Do you have words like that?
I know exactly what she means. My favorite word is theodolite.
Say it again.
Theodolite.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know how to spell that.
Theodolite.
And what theodolite. Does it mean?
It's a measuring device that surveyors use. It sounds really good.
Oh, wow. So you like words because they're fun. They're games for you. Have you always been a really good speller, or did it come to you through reading, and did you have to work at it?
I think I've always been a pretty good speller. I've got a good visual memory. I actually see words if I concentrate on them, so it makes it relatively straightforward for me to spell, at least the easy words anyway. The more complicated they get, obviously, the longer it's going to take me to figure out what the possibilities are.
And do you have language in your background?
I'm not very good at Latin, but I studied Latin for 6 years. I studied French, I studied German. So I've got a fair amount of language in my background, yeah.
Do you think
my parents were academics as well, so I've been reading since I was very, very young, and it's one of my great pleasures reading. So
yeah, well, I'm going to invite Taya to give you a word to spell. How about it?
I thought you might try this.
she's digging into her big red notebook of words that she's been practicing. What would you like to ask Toby to spell, Taya?
Cryophilic. It's from Greek.
One more time with it.
Cryophilic.
Cryophilic or cryophilic?
Cryophilic.
Okay, I think that would be K-R-Y-O-P-H-I-L-I-C.
C-R-Y-O-P-H-I-L-I-C.
Ooh. Well, I didn't quite hear the word right, so...
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I spelled correctly what I heard, but that's not necessarily saying I also spelled it correctly.
Let's try one more.
Let's see. Ilyism.
Boy, these are
one
tough.
One more time with that.
Wait, never mind.
It's too hard.
Heliosis.
Give me an easy word like dog.
Heliosis.
One more time.
Heliosis.
I actually can't hear that one well enough to know how to spell it.
Oh, okay. It's tough.
It's like sunstroke. Or
spell it for me.
Heliosis.
Oh, okay, I would have got most of that. I'm not sure I would have got the last part of it. I would have got the helio part easy enough, yeah. Because that's, you know, the Greek word for sun, so.
Yeah. Limpid.
Limpid?
Yes.
L-I-M-P-I-D.
Correct.
Yay.
See,
I finally got one right.
No, we, it's hard. It's, you know... when they're in a spelling bee competition, they can actually see the words of the person that are pronouncing it, right, Taya? You can actually see.
It's probably easier in person to hear it than on the radio.
Yeah. So you were very game to try, Toby. I wanted to ask you, just because you're steeped in language and you love language, you know, what words of wisdom would you give to people about spelling and about maybe how to become a better speller if they're not a good speller?
I think the first thing I'd say is that they should read as much as they can. They should read for pleasure. They shouldn't feel like, you know, reading is an imposition, because it really is a great joy. And then they should think about how extraordinary language is, that, you know, human beings have the ability to communicate verbally and in writing. And that's just an extraordinary ability we've developed for evolutionary reasons, I would say, but for whatever reason. And that's something that's very well worth cherishing.
It's kind of a gift. As you said to me the other day, Toby, we were talking, you said, it's here before you arrive, then you're here and you get to participate in it, and it's here long after you're gone. It's kind of an interesting...
Yeah, it's the closest thing we'll have to experiencing immortality, mm-hmm. I think.
Getting to participate in language, right. Well, I'm going to just ask Mitchell if he wants to give you one Yupik word, and then we'll let you go. He's smiling. What do you think? Give him an easy one. They're conferring.
Okay. Toby, spell... Tuk.
I plead ignorance.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Well, you were a good sport to even try. Katie, let's tell him what it means and how you spell it.
Tuk-tuk is an engine, and it's spelled T-U-Q-T-U-Q.
Wow. I would not have got that in a million years.
Well, Toby, Yes.
Kathleen, could I just ask your spellers to spell a word?
Okay. Are you guys game?
Yes.
Okay, they both shook their heads yes. Okay, go ahead.
So this is the word I won on the last year I was on in the competition. It's lambikin.
Ooh.
Lambikin.
Okay, who wants to try that?
What's the language of origin?
French.
Is it L-A-M-B-O-K-I-N?
Nope. You're right with the first four letters.
Okay.
Lambquine?
Not quite. It's actually lambrequin.
Oh. Wow, that R-E is very tricky.
My English isn't as good as my Yupik. Actually, my English isn't that good. Well, my Yupik is way, way, way better than English.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Toby's going to know any Yupik words to ask you.
No. Alas, not. I'd love to, actually.
Yes.
It sounds like a fascinating language.
It is. It's really fun to hear them say it and try to imagine how you would spell it. But mostly Mitchell knows how to spell it very well. So, well, Toby, what else? Any other anecdotes from your Bisbee honorary days?
I remember one time you have 30 seconds to spell, and the word that I had to spell, I was on a team, the word was schottisch, which is a type of dance, and I knew really well how to spell it, but I was being really, really careful because it was a late round and I wanted to make sure I got it right, and so I turned to one of my team members to spell it out to her before I had to do it for real. And the time ran out. And the time ran out just as I opened my mouth and was about to spell it.
Oh,
and the rule was you've got to start sounding the word or you get timed out.
Oh.
And that was just awful.
Oh, I can still hear the frustration in your voice.
Yeah, it was a funny moment looking back on it, but it was tough too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And you actually had to retire your jersey. You can't be in the Bisbee anymore.
I could be now because enough years have gone by, but the rule was that if you win, I think it's 2 or 3 years in a row, then you have to retire 2/3 of your team.
Ah.
And we're a team of three, so I decided it was a great moment for me to bow out.
Yeah. And what did the winner get? The winning team?
I don't know that we got anything other than... Oh, no, I know what we got. We got a plaque. Yeah.
And then you raised money for
names on it in the year that we won.
And then you raised money for the literacy project.
A lot of money, yeah. It's a very popular spelling bee in town.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, Toby, thank you so much for calling in. And I don't know, do you guys want to take one more word from Toby? What do you think?
Sure.
They're willing. You want to throw out one more, Toby?
Oh, gosh. Let me think. How about this one? Cathedral.
Oh. Oh, threw me at the window.
Cathedral.
Beautiful.
Well, that's great. We hope that's the word you get in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
So thank you, Toby. I really appreciate you taking
Kathleen,
the time to call
thanks
in.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye
now. Frida, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm very happy to be able to say hi to Katie and Mitchell also.
Oh, you guys. She says
hi,
a special hi to you.
Hi.
So you're one of the organizers of the Yupik Spelling? Bee?
I think I'm pretty much the only organizer. I work with people, but I am the one that organizes, make sure things do happen.
And will there be a UPIC Spelling Bee next year, Frida?
I'm hoping very much to have one next year. And the UPIC Spelling Bee for Beginners has been invited to the New Mexico Association for Bilingual Education, their language festival.
What does that mean?
They only have a Navajo spelling bee, but they said they're very excited to hear about this bee. And also I had made contacts with Inuktitut, some people who are involved with Inuktitut language.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very excited about hearing about this bee, and they would like to start a bee also and connect somehow, somewhere. And in UPIAC, I've tried to make contacts there, and because I checked the spellings for all three of those, for two of those areas, and there's such a similarity and such a it's very interesting how it drifted, how the word head drifted from this to this, and it would be so exciting to have all those spellers be able to spell, hear how they pronounce their word and how they spell the word.
Frida, I've got a question for you. You said that the UPIC Spelling Bee has been invited to New Mexico. Does that mean Mitchell gets to go to New Mexico?
Not this year, but if he did win next year, if we we do have sponsorship for, if it could happen.
It could happen.
We are invited to. And when I searched for a UPIC Spelling Bee, their spelling bee is the one I came up with. You know, when I made an internet search of any kind of native language spelling bee that I could enroll my children's school in, they're the one that came up. And when I realized they had made their own spelling bee, I thought, well, that's a really exciting thing to hear, that there is a native spelling bee. And it was the only one I found, but I did more digging and I found this one hidden in the lower Yukon district.
Well, Frida, I want to ask you, why is it so important for you? You really worked hard to get this UPIC spelling bee going, and why is that so important to you? Is it because it maintains the language, or why?
The reason is because I feel like it's a part of our root, that language is what we identify with. I wouldn't be in UPIAC because I don't speak in UPIAC. I am UPIC because I do know UPIC, and so it's like a part of my identity. Or for any native language person, they identify with the particular language that they come from, and it's like rooted in within us. Even if we don't ever speak our language again, we identify with this group, and so it's,
yeah. I want to ask Katie that. Does that ring true for you, Katie? That it's something inside you, the language, and to get to hear it and use it is important.
Yes, being able to know my native language is very important, and it's how I identify myself.
Does it make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a connection to something bigger than you, you know,
yes,
going way back?
Yeah, still connected to my ancestors, the elders in our village. I'm able to speak to them, able to speak to my children, and hopefully pass on the language to them.
That'd be true of you too, Mitchell. You can speak with elders too, right?
Yeah. Besides, last year when I was in Nistuyahak at Bristol Bay, when I visit my older sister Christine and her babies, I didn't hear in a single Yupik, Bristol Bay Yupik. But when I went to my friend's grandpa's house, when I talked to his grandpa, he was really surprised, because at this age and at this young, I spoke Yupik, and he literally was surprised. He was really happy for me because I can speak my Yupik language.
It's kind of interesting, Taya, because you can speak with your grandmother no problem.
Yes.
I mean, because you both speak English, but if she spoke French or Greek or something like that, it would be, you can imagine the problem that Mitchell might confront, not being able to actually talk to somebody that you care about.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty, I can see how that's very special. I really like that. I'm wondering whether we could have Mitchell say, actually I've got a caller. I'm just gonna go ahead and introduce her. Hello, BJ.
Hello.
Would you like to say hello to somebody here?
Well, I would love to say hello to Taya. She's my granddaughter, and I'm so very proud of her and what she is doing and going to Washington, D.C. And I would like to add that she does come from a long line of spellers. Her mother was in the spelling bee twice in Anchorage. At that time, we lived in Nome. And then I also was a speller when I was in grade school back in the village of White Mountain. And also that we are a bunch of grammar fanatics or grammar freaks in our family. We're always correcting each other. And then I would like to say to Mitchell that I'm very proud of him, too, and the UPIC spelling, and that we also have UPIC in our family. And I was really happy, the word that he gave the gentleman to spell Tuktuk.
Yes.
My great-grandfather's name was Tuktuk. Might be pronounced a little bit different, but... Anyway, I'm calling from Hawaii and enjoying the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for taking the time to call. I bet you were surprised, huh, Taya?
Yes.
I love you, Taya.
I love you, too.
So,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye, BJ. So you have Alaska Native language back in your background, then?
Yes, it's Inupiaq.
Inupiaq.
Yeah.
Have you ever explored picking that back up?
Well... We say some of the words at our house, but we don't really speak it very much.
So give us a few Inupiaq words.
Alapa means cold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, alapa.
Yeah.
That was Mitchell's.
Similar.
Similar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Chura, did you say? Yeah. I'm not quite sure what that means.
So maybe if there was ever an Inupiaq spelling bee, you would actually have a big challenge in front of you. Those
Possibly.
Words are less familiar to you. Sounds like your grandmother knows a lot about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just have a little bit more time for callers. If anyone wants to call in, I'll throw out that number one more time. It's 550-8433 if you're in Anchorage. Outside Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. Or you can send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. So I actually want to hear some more Yupik. I'm going to ask Katie, can you just share some words with us so we can hear it? Because we don't get to hear it, just like we don't get to hear much in Yupik. It'd be great to hear a little bit more.
Katie, bamiyomi.
Ja.
Okay, so you know the album Bamiyo?
Yes, I do know Bamiyo.
Bamiyo is one of the leads, the singers, is actually my uncle.
What's his name?
Asi Gayreok.
Wow. Wow. Do you sing, Mitchell?
I'm a dancer.
You're a
dancer? Big dancer.
Yeah.
But I rarely get to drum. So, I know how to sing, though.
You want to sing for us? I don't know. I'm putting you on the spot. That's not fair. This is a spelling bee show. It's not a singing show. You weren't supposed to have to be able to sing to come on the show. I want to ask both of our spellers if they've got certain words that... we talked a little bit with Ty about soliloquy, why you love that word. I want to hear from Mitchell. Are there some Yupik words that you just love to say? He's thinking... Maybe for what they mean, or just the way they sound. How about you, Katie?
Well, one of my favorite words is actually the name of my oldest daughter, because it's easy to say, and it's just
Atsa.
Yeah, She's named after one of my cousins.
Say it again.
Atsa.
How do you spell it?
A-T-S-A.
A-T-S-A. We have another caller, and this is directed to you, Taya. Hello, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi, Mom.
I did not know that you had Alaska Native language in your background, Jeannie.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool, because now we have actually, you know, two on our show, one in English, but with the background in Inupiaq. So that's really great. Mitchell, you're 13, right?
Yes.
And you're 12?
Yes.
So they're really very close in age. It's really, really fun that in Alaska we've got that in our background and culture. So anyway, Jeannie, did you have a question for your daughter? You want to give her a good word?
Sure. I was calling in to give her a word. I have that same list in front of me because we actually have it on the iPad. And we also have an app where we can record me saying a word, and then she can spell it. So that was kind of a neat thing we discovered in the last week. Okay, Taya, how about if you spell Duan?
D-O-U-A-N-E.
That was an easy one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means a building where customs and duties are paid or collected and where vessels are entered and cleared. It's from a Persian word.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
Very different.
So now I get why Thai is a good speller, because we natives have a really big mind, which there's no ways. Back in the old days, there was no post saying there's Washington over there. There's no New York over there. There were no maps or stuff. So we had to enlarge in our minds to find out where it is. Like me, I spelled Nukalpaq really fast. I knew how it was. In other words, I can spell fast too, but other ones that are long ones, sometimes Inupiaq are harder to remember because they have more snow.
So you know some Inupiaq words, Mitchell?
A few,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Alapa was one of them.
What does that mean?
Cool.
Well, Jeannie, you want to ask one more?
Okay. Let me see. To get to... There are some that are so easy. It's really... like, we were surprised to see some that were so easy.
I just have about 15 seconds left.
Okay. Taya, spell Einkorn.
E-I-N-K-O-R-N.
Yes.
You
got it.
Oh my gosh. What does it mean?
One-grained wheat.
Say that again?
One-grained wheat.
One-grained wheat. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Jeannie. We've had a great hour talking about the pains and pleasures of spelling. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to our callers. Special thank you to Taya Fagerstrom, the 2012 state champ going on to Washington, D.C. Mitchell Kay. Thank you, our Yupik Spelling Bee champ. Kate Tanuchuk, his coach. Special thanks to Toby Whitcomb, who called in to participate. Next week, Shelley Ward will be back on Hometown Alaska. Please connect us with us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Alaska Public. Our website is alaskapublic.org. Thank you for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.